How many knows that Jesus said that we are to be the light of this world? He said we're to be lights in a dark place. He said one place, he said, I'm the light of the world. But then another place, he said, you're the light of the world. And he talked about that we've got to let our light shine so that men will see God, that they'll understand who God is, because that we are light. And I was thinking about how that all through the Bible, that sometimes we underestimate our own self and God's ability to use us individually. You know, sometimes we think that God can use that person or God can use this person, but we underestimate what God can do through us individually. Whoever you are, God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. He's a respecter of those that trust and rely upon Him. Glory to God. He gives favor to those that trust Him and believe in Him and walk after Him. And so I was thinking about how that all through the Bible, how that God used a man to bring a move of God. Did you know that John the Baptist was a move of God? John the Baptist, the Lord gave me a message years ago, and it was called, I called it a revival called John. A revival called John, because John was he was ordained of God. He was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, but he grew up and he preached the gospel. He was preaching, and when Jesus came, Jesus said, "There's not ever been anybody greater than John the Baptist." He said, "But he that's in the kingdom of God, that's least in the kingdom, is greater than John the Baptist." And so, but the thing, this is what I saw in it, that John came to prepare the way for Jesus. And wherever John went, there was a move of God came. And the people that received John, when Jesus got there, they received him. But the people that rejected John, when Jesus came, they rejected Jesus also. And so when the Pharisees one time, they said, "By what authority do you do these miracles that you do?" And he said, "Well, let me ask you a question. Was John of God or of men?" And they said, "Well, if we say he's of men, they'll stone us. But if we say he's of God, then he'll say, 'Well, why didn't you believe him?'" He said, "Well, we can't say." He said, "Neither can I tell you by what authority I do these things. But I tell you this, that the harlots and publicans and the harlots will enter into the kingdom before you, because they believed John the Baptist." And so John was representing God wherever he went. But see, the thing of it was, he was preparing a way for Jesus to come. But then when Jesus came, how many knows now then, we're actually in a different dispensation than what we were with John the Baptist. John the Baptist was pre-Jesus. He was preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus is here now. He's here in our hearts and in our life. He wants to live through us. And he wants us to give him glory in this earth through our life, through the things that we do. And I was thinking about how that Moses, how God used Moses for a move of God. I mean, but I want you to think, what would have happened if Moses had not hearkened to God? You say, "Well, God would use somebody else." I think sometimes it doesn't happen that way. I think sometimes when somebody doesn't do, like for instance, if we're in a certain situation and we don't obey God and the miracle doesn't happen, there's not anybody else for God to use because we're the only one there. And so we can miss opportunities to see the glory of God in the earth. And so Moses, the Bible said that they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. As they went through the Red Sea, it was a type of baptism. When they ate of the bread that fell from heaven, they drank of the rock. And the Bible said this rock was Christ, was a type of Christ. And so, but all these things happened to Moses because he chose to be used of God. He chose to obey God and to follow God, and he became a move of God. God used him. Then when Moses passed on, then here comes Joshua. Joshua becomes a move of God. Joshua obeys God, and the Jordan, was it the Red Sea rolls back, and they go across on dry ground. No, Jericho wouldn't. When it went across, but he was a move of God and until he passed on. And then it went on to others, and there was men like Elijah that God used them as a vessel to work through them to see mighty signs and wonders and miracles. And but you think about what would have happened if these men had not obeyed God. And then we come on up, and here comes David. And David was a man that obeyed God. He was anointed of God. But there's one thing in common. Most of these people was touched by the Holy Ghost. Most of them was touched. John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. David was anointed by Samuel. The oil poured over his head was a type of the oil of the Holy Ghost. But he became a move of God. God began to use him to slay giants and to defeat the Philistines and to take back the things that had been stolen from them. But he chose to be used of God. But the thing of it was, did you know that when we're being used of God, we got to do it God's way? We got to follow the leading of the Spirit, because if we don't, just like even though you're winning for God, when you make a wrong turn and start doing it your own way, you start getting defeated. And things don't work out. But David was a move of God. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, you look at those men. God showed himself through their life. See, God wants to show himself through our life today. He wants to move in our life in a mighty way. And the thing, you know, there's a scripture in Psalms 24. It says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the Lord of glory shall come in." But he called us gates. He said, "Open, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the Lord of glory shall come in." And I was thinking about how that the Lord wants to use us as an avenue, as a doorway to come through our life into this world to touch people's lives. See, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but through me." He said, "I am the door. If any man knocks," he said, "I'll open." But he talked about that he was the way, and then he turned around, he tells us to go in his name. He said, "You go in my name and you preach the gospel." And you know what that means? That means we are here representing Jesus to this world. That means we're here in his place. It means we're here taking his place in this world. And so that wherever we go representing God, and we open a doorway of heaven so that heaven can come into the earth and touch people's lives. But see, there's a real devil in this world, and he knows this. And so he tries his best to shut you down, to cause us to live carnal and fleshly and not after the Spirit, and causes us to stop, make wrong turns, wrong decisions, and it stops the move of God from happening sometimes. But still, God breaks through things sometimes in spite of us. Sometimes God breaks through in areas of our life. Even we might be disobedient in some areas, but then we turn to God, and then God moves. And I'm not saying that you have to be perfect for God to use you. Because if you did, nobody wouldn't get used of God, because I ain't seen anybody with no wings sprouting out. But at the same time, though, there are things that can stop God from moving through us. There's things that can hinder the Spirit of God from flowing through our lives. And I think about how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that here they were fixing to be thrown in a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the golden image. But you know what? They had already had an example set before them by Daniel. In the first part of Daniel, when Daniel refused to bow down to the king, and he kept on praying, and because of that, He was thrown in the lion's den and he lived. We all know the story. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already had some good testimonies about what God could do through somebody else. They'd done seen it firsthand. How many knows that when somebody sees it firsthand in you, it gives them courage to be able to face something? Because they say, Brother Scotty, he went through it. He trusted God, and God moved on his behalf. And because of that, it gives me courage. But see, if all you see is defeat, and see, that's what the devil wants everybody to do. He wants you to look and say, well, that person's defeated. This person died. This person tried to believe God. He tries to show you all the negative things to get you in doubt and unbelief and fear. But see, faith is the opposite of that. Faith isn't moved by what it sees. It's only moved by what God says in his word. And so the enemy tries to stop us from being a move of God. And, you know, and then I think about in the New Testament, Paul. Here Paul was persecuting the church, throwing Christians in jail. And then Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. And Paul falls off the horse and falls to the ground. And he was blinded. And God told him, he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said, arise and stand upon thy seat. For this purpose have I called thee, to be a light to the Gentiles, to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And so Paul went out and he told him to go to Ananias. And so he went to Ananias. And see, this was showing Paul something, that he was blinded. God blinded him on the road to Damascus. And then God sends him to Ananias, which was his man. He was door. He goes to Ananias. Ananias lays hands on him. His eyes are opened. And so that gave Paul a revelation that Jesus is living through people. He's living through his disciples. He's living through the church, the body of Christ. And so Paul wrote all these great things about the church, and he had a revelation about the body of Christ greater than anybody else at that time. He wrote all the things about it. But because he saw it firsthand and he understood. And you know what? Wherever Paul went, there was either a revival or a riot broke out. I mean, when he'd go into a city, the Bible said he turned the city upside down. Wherever he went, he was preaching the gospel. But at the same time, those that would hear him, they would get saved and the power of God would come and people would be healed. And so, because of this, now then, you and I, we have examples that we can look back on and see that God is a mighty man, that he wants us to be a mighty man of God or woman of God. And then I think about how that, you know, in our own personal lives. You know, when I first started pastoring a church, God told me, he said, whether this church makes it or not is going to be determined by your walk with me. And I thought about that a lot, and it was the truth. Whether the church made it or not was going to be determined by my walk with God. And so, I didn't realize it at the time, but see, I was doing my best to obey God and to trust God and to go forward. And as I did, it was like God just kept moving me up, and moving the church, and making the church go from glory to glory, and seeing miracles, and seeing God do this and God do that. And I was thinking, all the people that were touched by God over the years at Faith Restoration would never have been touched if I had not obeyed God. See? And you say, well, he would have got somebody else to do it. Well, somebody else might not have could have done some of the things I did. They probably could have done better in some areas, but in some areas they couldn't. You know, it's the same thing. And I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm just making a point that because that you are a doorway, God wants to use you to bring the kingdom of God into the earth. So Smith Wigglesworth had a revelation of this. Wherever he would go, he would bring the kingdom of God. And wherever he would go, the people would get under conviction and get saved. They say, my God, you convict me of my sin. Why? Because he had so much of the presence of God in him. And he believed that he was a move of God. He believed that God was with him. See, this is what I want you to see tonight. You got to believe that God is with you. And you got to believe that wherever you go, that He is with you, that and that He wants to help you, and He wants to manifest Himself to people in people's lives. And when you realize that you are sent by God to bring the kingdom of God into this earth, it gives you boldness. There's something on the inside of you starts rising up when you realize that I am sent of God. He told me to come here. He told me to go pray for this person. He told me to cast out this devil. He told me to do that. And all at once, when you realize that you are one with God and that God has sent you, there's Holy Ghost boldness will rise up inside of you, and you'll say, glory to God, the kingdom of God is coming today. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus told His disciples, He said, go preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick, cast out devils, open the blinded eyes, and say, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Why? Because that they were representing the kingdom. But the thing of it is, the church world today has gotten away, and it seems to be getting away from it even more as time goes on, from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And the church is turning more to psychology, make you feel good about yourself, and things like this. That if you don't make somebody feel good, then you're not a good preacher. If you make somebody feel bad about themselves, then you didn't do right. But I got to thinking about something. Would you rather somebody warn you about something you're fixing to face down the road that's extremely bad, or would you rather for them just to not tell you about what's fixing to happen? And I thought, I'd rather somebody tell me, if I knew I was fixing to have something really bad down the road I was going to face, that I'd rather know it now. And I'd like to, so I could make some changes right now and be prepared for what I'm fixing to face. And see, that's what we've got to do. We've got to warn this world that there is a judgment day coming, and that Jesus is coming back to this earth one day, and He's going to come here, and we need to prepare. People need to be prepared. They need to be saved. They need to be born again. They need to know Jesus. Because, see, the thing of it is, if you know what's coming, you can prepare for it. If you look ahead and you say, for instance, when you stand before God, if you've went out and you've done your best to obey God and to preach the gospel to people and to help people to turn them to God, then when you stand before God, you can be glad, you're excited. But when you know that you wasted your life and you didn't do anything for the kingdom of God, then when you start to face God, there's going to be a fear that's going to come and say, I wasted my whole life. I never did anything for God. All I did was live for myself. But when you live for God, it brings joy to you. One of the reasons people are so dissatisfied today and so many people that are in depression is because that they're not totally living for God 100%. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying that if you take antidepressants or anything like that, that you're not a Christian. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of people out there today that thinks that they're unhappy because that the world's not accepting them. But really, what makes you happy is when you know God's accepting you. When you know that you are accepted of God, that brings a joy to you. And this world is trying to deceive people, and it's, the world's gone crazy. We all know that. It's insane, the things they're doing now, and calling it science and calling it all this stuff. But that's why the Bible said for us to come away from the world, to separate from the world, and draw nigh unto God. Glory to God. And then another man was like Billy Graham. Think about all the people that have been born again and come into the kingdom of God because of Billy Graham. Billy Graham turned many people to God because that He knew that God had called him to preach the gospel. And he knew that God was with him. And, And he preached the gospel wherever it did, and thousands of people came to God. And up to now, Reinhard Bonnke had millions of people he had millions that get saved in one meeting. But I want you to just think about it. All these people that those things happened to, but then I want us to think about our own personal life. Did you know you have a destiny from God? You have a destiny that you can do great things in the kingdom of God, but you've got to be dedicated to God. You've got to be committed to God. You can't be half in the world and half serving God and be a door for the kingdom of God to come through, because you'll make wrong decisions. You'll do wrong things. And to see, God wants us to be sanctified and committed unto Him. And you know what the word holy means? It means to be set aside for God. It means to be set aside for a holy purpose. But it also means God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God's nature is holy. Whenever you are walking in the nature of God, you're being holy. But there's a twofold thing about holiness. One is you're set aside for God only, for His purpose. And the second thing is that you're allowing His nature to work through you. That's His divine nature is holiness. And so I was thinking about, the Bible says, be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And the word sanctified means to be set apart for God. Because the enemy doesn't want people to be set aside for God. He wants you to, and this is what people don't realize. People think that if you operate in the flesh, if you go out and get drunk, or if you commit fornication, or you commit adultery, or if you do something, things like this, that it really doesn't hurt you. That you can still just keep serving God, it's like nothing ever happened. But what people don't realize is that over time, it will begin to take you away from God. Whatever sin it is in your life, and it doesn't, I mean, it's not big, it's not always big sins. Sometimes, I mean, the devil knows exactly what it takes to tempt you. He knows what you will fall for. And so, when we decide that we're going to go forward in God, you know what the first thing that's going to happen? Wherever your stronghold is at, it's the first thing that's going to rise up. Wherever it's at. If it's shopping, then you decide you're going 100% for God, there's going to be a good sale to open up that day and say, "You need to go to this sale today." And you're going to say, "Yes, that's what I want. You know, because I thought I was going to fast today." "Well, I'll do that tomorrow." No, it's like wherever your weakness is at, when you decide you're going all the way with God, that thing's going to rise up. It's going to tempt you wherever it is. And it's like, because the enemy knows exactly what is going to tempt you, or what's going to cause you to turn aside. And I had a dream one time, and in this dream, I was just running down the road, and it was like I was running 50 miles an hour, and I was just running down the road, and I knew I was in the spirit, and I was just flying down the road, and I was like, "Man, this is great." I felt like Superman. And I was just running down the road, and all at once, I just stopped, turned sideways, went over here, and started doing something, and it was like, why did I stop for? I mean, I was doing great. I was running down the road, and it was like when I woke up, the Lord showed me that that's the way it is. When a lot of times when you start and you're having a move of God in your life, many times you'll be the one that stops it because you'll make a turn. But if you keep running for God and you keep realizing that there is areas of your life that the enemy will try to come in at, you've got to shut him out. If we want to be a move of God, we have to overcome weaknesses in our life. A.A. Allen was a great preacher back in the 50s. R.W. Schambach said the greatest miracle he ever saw was at his meeting. But A.A. Allen had a problem with alcohol. He had a problem with some other things in his life. And he one day he went in his prayer closet and he said, "I'm not coming out of here until God touches me and tells me what I need to do. And so he went in his prayer closet. At this time, he wasn't having no miracles. And see, God wants miracles and things, signs and wonders to come in your life. And so he goes in his prayer closet, and he's in there praying, and God begins to speak to him after a couple of days, and he says, you need to change this, 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 and this. I think there was five things. And he wrote them down on the wall. He wrote the seven or five things on the wall that God told him. And when he came out, he began to deal with those areas, those five things God pointed out to him. He started dealing with them one by one. And said as soon as he finished the fifth thing that God showed him, supernatural miracles began to break out in his life. And people began to get delivered. People began to get healed. Things. And so those were hindrances. It was things he didn't even realize was hindering him. But once those things got overcome, then the miracles begin to happen. And so that's the same thing in our life. If we're wanting to go forward in God and see great signs and wonders, then we're going to have to overcome weaknesses in our own life, not on our own. That's a good thing. The Holy Ghost has been given to us to help us. It's the word paraclete in the Greek, and it means one who walks along beside you. The Holy Ghost will help you overcome weaknesses in your life. It'll help you control your temper. It'll help you control your anger. It'll help you control your tongue. It'll help you control your lust. It'll help you. He'll help you in all areas of your life. But the thing of it is, we've got to realize that he is our helper, and he's been sent here, and he wants us to be one with the Holy Ghost. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Glory to God. So when you're being led by the Spirit, he's going to lead you from glory to glory. You know, when you don't realize it, but you know, we can't see the future, but the Holy Ghost knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I couldn't tell you how many times that I would go to bed and the Spirit of God would speak to me and he'd say, I want you to fast tomorrow. And I'd say, oh man, not tomorrow. I'm hungry. I want to eat tomorrow. And then I'd go to sleep and I'd forget about it, and I'd wake up the next morning and I'd be dreaming about cakes and ice cream and all kind of stuff as soon as I woke up. And I didn't normally dream about stuff like that. But yet the Lord had told me he wanted me to fast that day. So I woke up and I forgot about it, and I'm laying there and I'm thinking, I'm getting up, going to the Waffle House, and I'm going to go eat. I'm starving. And then all at once it dawned on me. No, I can't. The Lord told me to fast today. And so I start fasting. A little while later, I'd get a knock on the door. Somebody come in and they're demon-possessed. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I obeyed you. I'm glad I fasted today. Because there has been times when the Lord would tell me, I want you to fast tomorrow. And I'd wake up starving, and I'd jump up and start eating right off the bat. And I'd say, it don't really matter whether I fast today. I'll fast tomorrow. And then lo and behold, a knock on the door. Somebody comes in, it's a demon-possessed person again, and this time I didn't fast. And I'm like, why didn't I fast? Why didn't I obey God? And so I learned that when the Lord started dealing with me about fasting, it meant that I'm fixing to need something that's going to help me. The fast is going to help me face something I'm fixing to face. And so that's why it's important sometimes that when the Lord speaks to you about something, don't just push it off and say, well, you know, I'll do that next week. Because you may be what you had did it today. And so, when I said the word sanctification, it means to be set aside by God for his purpose. But did you know that Jesus said in John 17, he said, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Did you know the word of God will sanctify you? When you got the word of God, when you're obeying the word of God, it will set you aside. It'll make, because see, when you got the word of God in your heart, and then all at once you're facing something that's trying to get you to compromise and trying to get you to go a wrong direction, that word will say, no, don't do it. Don't talk about that person. Don't get mad. You know, because the word comes back to you. And I remembered that when I first got saved, I'd be reading the Bible and I'd read about where it said don't gossip. And then somebody would come to me and they'd start gossiping. And then all at once that word would come back to me and say, don't give in to it. But the word sanctified me. Then when I was working with some guys and the boss man told us he was going to give us all the cast iron. We were going to take the cast iron and sell it that we dug up, all the pipe, and split it among ourselves. And then this man came out there from the company where we were working, and he said, I want all this cast iron. It goes to the telephone company. And so when he left, my boss said, don't pay no attention to him. He said, just dig it up and go sell it. We're going to split it. I said, well, I can't now because I'm stealing. Because the Bible said you're not supposed to steal. And see, the word was sanctifying me, but it was so hard because every day those guys were getting like $50 and $100 extra every day, splitting among themselves. And they was waving it in my face and said, wouldn't you like to have some of this? Here, Brad, here, you can have some. I said, no, I don't want no stolen money. And so I was going home and I was saying, God, and I was needing money in the worst kind of way. And I was going home and I said, Lord, show me that I'm obeying you somehow. Just, I forget exactly how I prayed it, but I just was saying, Lord, I need you to confirm this to me, that I'm doing the right thing. And I got home, and then I had a friend of mine call me from South Carolina. And they said, Brad, do you need some money? He said, my sister's put a check in the mail, and she's sending it to you today. He said, she just felt the Lord, she was praying, and God told her to send you some money. I said, praise God. You know, and it was like I knew then that I was doing the right thing. But see, the word, if it hadn't have been for the word, I would have done what everybody else was doing. And you know what? If we don't have the word, we're going to do just like everybody else. If we don't have the word, we're going to act just like everybody else. We're going to dress like everybody else. We're going to do what everybody else does. But when the word comes to you, it'll say, separate from this. Don't be one with this. Get away from this. Because the word will sanctify you. And you have to believe that God is with you and that God's going to help you. And you know, there's no greater feeling than to believe. And I felt that tonight when I come in here. I felt the presence of God in this place. And it was just like God was speaking to me, and he said, I'm with you. I'm with you. I want you to bring heaven to earth. I want you to open a doorway that heaven can come through. And see, I believe it was, what's that preacher, the funny preacher? Yeah, Jesse. He said that God told him that he wants Jesse to make people realize how easy it is for them to touch God, to make it real to everybody, to where that they can realize that when they reach out to God, that they can get hold of God, to make it, you know, I forget exactly the way he said it, but it's saying the same thing I'm saying tonight, that he wants us to be a doorway, and he wants us to be able to take God wherever we go, and that to make people realize that they can have God in their life if they only believe and only trust in him. Glory to God. But we have to believe and trust in God and don't back down. I remember I was preaching at my grandmother's funeral, and I'd been on vacation, and I come back home, and I was supposed to preach, and I remember I felt so empty. I didn't have anything to say. And I was sitting back there in the back, and I was praying right before I had to get up. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I said, I feel so empty. I feel so unqualified to get up there to speak today. And the Lord just said a couple words. He said, I am with you. And when he said that, I knew it in my heart that God had said that to me. He said, I am with you. And when I got up, it was just like, how would I act if I knew God was with me? How would I act? And so when I got up, I began to preach, and it was like the word of God just came to me, and a Holy Ghost boldness came. And I preached that funeral, and Barbara Trussell, she's a preacher lady from over Hansville, she was there. And she said, that was one of the greatest salvation messages I've ever heard in my life. And I thought, I don't know how I did it. I knew how I did it, but it wasn't me. But the thing of it was, I just realized that God was with me. And so tonight, if there's anything I've said that you can take with you, wherever you go, take God with you. Wherever you go, let your life be a doorway that you bring heaven to earth, the kingdom of God into the earth. And you can change somebody's life. And if there's somebody sick or somebody, whatever the need is, let God work through you to touch somebody's life. And all God will do is He'll just take you from glory to glory. He'll take you from one thing to the next thing. And He'll just keep taking you higher and higher and higher in the kingdom of God. But the thing of it is, if we start thinking that God moves in buildings, or that God moves by Himself and He don't have to have nobody to move, and He don't, you know, we make a mistake. Because if we come in this building and nobody lets God work through them, then there's not going to be anything happen. If we come into church and everybody's just sitting here saying, "Okay, God, where you at? Well, I want to feel some goosebumps. Where you at, Lord? We need to, you know, we're here." But you know what happens, what brings the Spirit of God is when you begin to lift up your hearts to God, you open up your gates toward heaven and say, "God, I praise you and I worship you tonight, and I know that you are here and that you're with me, and I know the glory of God is here," and you just start worshiping God, all at once you bring His glory into the house. And things begin to change. The Spirit of God will start moving. One person can do that. But think what happens if everybody starts doing that. If everybody starts being a door and saying, "Lord, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to let your glory come through me." And that one over here, he's going to let the glory come through his life. And then, you know, and I think about Brother Scotty. Brother Scotty, God used him as a door. God used him. And he left our church and he went out and started preaching on the streets and preaching in the jails. And then he started this church over here. And God has taken him from glory to glory and blessed him. And he saw many people saved and healed and delivered. And he's taught a lot of people the Word of God and changed a lot of people's lives. But see, if he had not obeyed God, none of this building wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even be in this building. There wouldn't be nothing here. Just be an old building. But see, because he obeyed God, he took him from glory to glory to glory. And he's still going from glory to glory. And there's no limit. God will just keep taking you higher and higher and higher. But the thing of it is, what stops it is when we stop. When we say, "I quit." When we say, "God, you're just going to have to do it without me. I'm just going to sit back and be a bystander. I'm just going to watch. I'm not going to be a part." Things stops when you stop. But as long as you keep pressing on, you're going to win. You're going to overcome. And God will use you in a mighty way. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads tonight.